I did forget one thing in announcements, and I'm going to go ahead and put it in now. We received quite a few complimentary copies of Unity Magazine. So it's a great magazine. I can't always wait for mine to come every month. So if you'd like one, they're on Jane's desk. There are quite a few there. So help yourself to those. I did forget that. Okay, so today, I guess I just say, happy 2017. And as Oprah Winfrey once said, cheers to the new year and another chance to get it right. And you know, there is something about that calendar changing from December to January that gives us all an urge to make a new beginning, isn't there? This week, last week actually now, in my horoscope said, I want to read it to you, use today to end the year on a positive note. This was still in 2016. Write down some New Year's resolutions. Know that you might need to make a resolution to keep your resolutions. The goals you set can be hard to keep. Well, how many of you make New Year's resolutions? Raise your hand if you ever do it. A few, not too many. Okay, that's about average. And I'm not going to ask you how many of you are able to keep them. But I will tell you, the statistics show that in America, about a third of the population makes New Year's resolution. And what would you guess the percentage is of people who keep them? A third? Anybody else? Are you ready for this? 1%. Somewhere in between, 8%. 8% of the people keep their, at least profess to keep their resolutions. It could be closer to 1%, we don't know. And really, maybe the reason so many people fail to keep their resolutions is that our approach is wrong. The root of the word of resolution is resolute, defined in the modern dictionary as adamant, firmly determined, strong-willed, unshakable. Yet, the origin of the word resolve comes from the Latin resolve, which means exactly the opposite. It means to dissolve, to loosen, to undo. In other words, to let go. Isn't that interesting? And most of us know that the word January really came from the Roman god Janus, who had two faces, one to look back over the old year and the other face to look forward into the new year. And Janus was the god of gates, doorways, passages, endings, and beginnings. And maybe if we want to make a true transformation in the new year, we need to sort of revert to that original definition and think about what it is we need to release and let go. And I guess I'm really advocating today, honestly, that we all become a little two-faced and that we all are able to look back and see what attitudes, behaviors, or just mental models might be keeping us from really just moving into this new year in full freedom, joy, and grace. In his book, The Gathering, Jim Rosmerge writes, "It is as though we move through life with a coat that has an unimaginable precious gem secretly sewn into the seam. Every single one of us has everything we need to lead a prosperous and peaceful life, but we can be unaware of the treasures that we hold. The problem certainly does not lie with God, does it? With whom does the problem lie? With us, in our human consciousness. We sometimes just have trouble. We have trouble like looking to God and just knowing that God is always waiting within to bestow gifts of wholeness and peace and joy. And so we do sometimes actually sabotage our joy. We hold beliefs that block our good. And when we build barriers to good, we build barriers to God, because that's what God is. God is goodness. There's a story that some of you have heard before, I think, about Leonardo da Vinci. It seems that as he was painting The Last Supper, he had a bitter argument with a fellow painter. And Leonardo became so angry at this man that he truly detested him. So he decided to get even by painting his enemy's face as the face of Judas. And he joyfully put every stroke on the canvas, just in glee of what he was doing to this man, realizing that his enemy would be immortalized in everyone's mind as Judas, as the man who betrayed Jesus. But as he finished the faces of the 12, he tried again and again to paint Jesus' face, and he just could not get it right. And finally, he was really frustrated and confused, but finally he realized what was wrong. His hatred for the other painter and the ugliness of his deed were actually blocking his ability to finish the face of Jesus. So finally, he forgave his enemy, and on that very night, the face of Jesus came to him in a dream, and then he was able to complete his masterpiece. Now, I don't know if that story's true or not, but I know it has great truth in it. And the truth it has in it is that we can sometimes block our good by what we hold in our own consciousness. And in the Prayer Chaplain program, every year in the annual training, we're asked to bring a sacred object to share with the group. And mine is a bit unconventional. This is my sacred object right here. Okay, you can laugh. Everybody laughs when I get it out. It's okay. This is a little stuffed lobster that I bought when Bob and I vacationed in Bar Harbor, Maine. And while we were there, we visited a lobster hatchery where they breed lobsters and then release them to the open seas. And in that visit, we learned that in order for a baby lobster, called a cricket, by the way, in order for a cricket to grow, it must shed its original shell. And at the moment it sheds its shell is when it is the most vulnerable. And actually, lobsters go through this process several times in their lives in order to continue growing. And if they don't shed their shell, they're unable to grow. And I keep this little lobster on my desk at home as a constant reminder of the necessity of continually shedding old constricting thoughts and beliefs in order to grow and evolve. So our burning bowl today is an outward symbolic act designed to help us release those barriers, attitudes, feelings, beliefs, and behaviors that are not aligned with our true identity. And when we come to the burning bowl and give that which we're releasing to the fire, we are engaging in an ancient and universal ritual, going all the way back to Jesus' day, where the practice of burning frankincense in the Holy Temple in Jerusalem was part of their prayer practice. And the ancients thought that the smell of frankincense was particularly pleasing to God, and they also thought that the wisp of smoke that they saw as their frankincense burned actually carried their prayers up to the divine. Of course, in the day, in antiquity, they thought God was living in the sky or maybe at the top of a mountain like Olympus or Sinai. Now, today we have a broader understanding of God and of the omnipresence of God, but we still realize that the power of this ritual is not to please God or to change divine mind, but to touch our own hearts and souls, to condition our own consciousness. And I think one of the reasons the burning bowl ritual is so powerful is that it's a tangible experience. It's not a talk to which we passively listen, as you all so kindly are doing now. It's not a prayer that we automatically recite. It's not a scripture that we mindlessly read. It's a mystical experience in which we actively and personally engage, and one that really does reach the depths of our soul. And many of us are visual. If you're visual these last couple weeks, you're probably missing the PowerPoint. I think I'm a brave woman to get up here with no PowerPoint on New Year's Day. But anyway, we're just going forward. A lot of us are visual. And really, this is a visual representation of transformation. When you see the paper disappear. One more moment you're holding it in your hand, the next moment it disappears, and it's transformed into heat and light and wisp of smoke, really transported to another realm. The ritual is also tactical. You're going to hold a piece of paper in your hand. You're going to write something on it. The act of writing on it, of holding it in your hand, of walking forward and handing it to the fire are all important symbolic acts of the letting go process. And one of Jesus' most spectacular miracles, and we've talked about it before, is the familiar story of the raising of Lazarus. And that story gives us some insight about this process of letting go that we're going to do in just a few moments. You all remember the story about how Jesus came to Bethany 2 days too late to raise Lazarus, or to cure Lazarus. He was already gone. And Jesus approached the cave, remember, where Lazarus lay, and said what? What did he say, the first thing? The first thing he said was, take away what? Take away the stone. Then he looked up, representing higher consciousness. He got himself in higher consciousness. He thanked God in advance, and he cried out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. And of course, Lazarus came out. Now, the message of this miracle is really twofold. First of all, of course, it's a message that it's never too late. Outside conditions can never be too desperate for us to call on the power and presence of the divine. But also, it's all about the fact that before the miracle is accomplished, before Lazarus can live again, the stone must be rolled away. And that act is significant for us today, for us to ask, what does that stone represent in my own life? What is embedded in my consciousness that needs to be rolled away in order for me to fully live? Now, in the book, The Lazarus Blueprint, which many of us studied last year, the Jafalas write, for starters, you need to know right up front that the stone is not another person or situation in your life. Well, darn. The stone doesn't have anything to do with anybody else or even any outward situation. Nor is the stone the illness, the financial collapse, or the abusive relationship. The stone is not the situation itself. It is something within you. It could be a very strong error belief, an attitude, or habit. The life that could be yours cannot unfold, they say, until this roadblock, this mindset is removed. So today, we search our minds and hearts to identify what we want to release, each one of us. It might be, like Da Vinci, an issue of forgiveness or resentment or judgment toward another person or situation, or even worse, toward ourselves. It might be a judgment toward ourselves. It might be a negative memory that haunts you. You know, one of those old stories that you have rehearsed, nursed, and cursed again and again and again, and it just doesn't go away. It might be a habit that is keeping you from expressing all that God is on this earth. It might be an I can't consciousness based on messages and labels that others have imposed on you. The idea that you're not worthy or wise enough. That's a big one. Or it might be what Reverend Randy always called the terrible twos. It might be your attitude that you're too weak, too ill, too busy, too poor, too old to do whatever. Those messages are not the truth. And those people who told them to you might have been well-intended, but they did not tell you the truth. The thing we need to do today is to take a lie swatter and to swat them away, to purge them from our minds. And that's what our ritual is going to do in just a couple of seconds. And so that thing that you choose to release today might also be something that you've struggled with for years. It might be a New Year's resolution that you've made over and over and over again. And some of you are shaking your heads, and I think we've all been there. But in this year, this day, this is the time to surrender it all to a higher power, to know you are not doing this alone. You may not feel strong enough to roll away that stone, but there's a power and indwelling presence that is strong enough. It is the Christ within who does the work, and there is nothing too great for the Almighty to overcome. Bridget Nicole wrote, "One of the most courageous decisions you will ever make is to finally let go of what is hurting your heart and soul." So today, I invite all of us to release whatever is keeping us from being the magnificent spiritual beings that we were created to be. So if the ushers would please now pass out the slips of paper. And raise your hand if you need a writing tool. There are lots of them in the pews, but we brought extras today. So if you need a writing tool, a pen or pencil, raise your hand. And as the slips are being passed out, I'll just give a couple directions. Once you receive your slip, I'd like you just to hold it in your hand, close your eyes, and just turn within. And even if you think you know exactly what you're going to write, I'd invite us all to be open to inspiration that might come. So I'll let them all get passed out. Bob, would you get me another one? Okay. Do you have one? And our gentlemen upstairs need them, and I need one too, actually, when you all are finished. And Elise needs a writing utensil, so we're getting it. Paul? Oh, not Paul. That's not Paul. Roy. There we go. Okay. Roy, do you have the pens? I need one. And Elise needs a writing. Okay, I think we're all ready. Thank you, Mary. I've got a pen, I think. Thank you. No, I have a pen. Thank you. Okay, now we're all ready? Okay, almost. Are we ready now? Good. Okay. So, not yet. Upstairs isn't ready. Okay, if you already have your piece of paper, don't write on it yet, please. Just close your eyes and just turn within for a few moments. And just ask for guidance about what is yours to release on this day. Okay. And I'd like you to affirm with me quietly and gently. Remember, when we do release and denial, we gently sweep it away. I'd like you to affirm with me, I release what no longer serves me. Say that three times. I release what no longer serves me. I release what no longer serves me. I release what no longer serves me. And recognize in this sacred moment that God is in the holy temple, not a temple built with bricks and mortar, but the true temple within your own soul. You are now in the presence of pure being, immersed in the Holy Spirit of life, love, and wisdom. You are being guided to discern what needs to be released this day in order to live your life as God's expression on this earth. So ask for that guidance now for a few moments in the silence. And when you are so moved, please write a word or phrase, short phrase, or even draw a picture that symbolizes in a meaningful way the condition you wish to release. And when you're ready to prayerfully let go and let God, please come forward. And as you do so, embrace the truth that the power and presence of God goes before you and prepares your way. As you watch your paper go up in flames, just say quietly to yourself, Amen, and so it is. And when you are finished, quietly return to your seat and continue your time of prayer and meditation. And so we have put our things that we need to release. I'm sorry. One more. Now, anybody else? All right. So we have put our things that we need to let go into the fire, and they are gone. And something powerful has happened here. We absolutely have released what needs to be released and just embrace a new year. And we are all in some way transformed. I think we all have this feeling, this sense that something real has happened here. And I want us to just take a moment to celebrate and affirm the power and presence that makes that possible. There is only one presence and one power in the universe and at work in my life. God, the good, omnipotent, and so it is. Together, there's only one presence and one power in the universe and at work in my life. God, the good, omnipotent, and so it is. Amen.